Hey, everybody. It's Chris Spangle with We Are Libertarians. This week, we just couldn't get our scheduling worked out. It was going to be me talking alone into a microphone, so we decided to take a week off of We Are Libertarians. But we'd like to present to you our sister show, The Show Report, hosted by Ryan Ripley. I'm on it. Managing editor of WeAreLibertarians.com, Joe Ruiz, is on it. And we walk you through the week in media and try to get you to think a little bit differently about journalism. So hope you enjoy it. And if you do enjoy it, go to WAL-radio.com. One more time, that's WAL-radio.com and subscribe. You can also subscribe on the front page of WeAreLibertarians.com. All right, and hope you enjoy it, and thanks for listening.
Welcome to Episode 6 of The Show Report, where journalism is reviewed and the stories of the week are expanded and explained. I'm your host, Ryan Ripley. Joining me on the quest to shed the light of liberty on the week's news is publisher of We Are Libertarians, Chris Spangle.
What's up?
And managing editor of the We Are Libertarians news site, Mr. Joe Ruiz.
Hello, hello.
Guys, how are we doing this week?
Doing well.
And fantastic.
That's great. It's been a fun news cycle. We've been free of some of the more titillating stories, I would say. And there's actually, guys, we're going to do something a little different this week. I want to start right out. I want to get right into it. I want to do a hat tip. You know, as a libertarian-minded podcast and with those values in mind, we typically talk about the things we don't like. I thought it would be interesting this week if we took the opposite view and said, you know what, let's give a kudos. What do you guys think? You want to be positive at the start?
I guess.
All right, so this week we're going to give a hat tip to Jake Tapper. Now, Chris, I know you have something of a man crush on Mr. Tapper.
I have a platonic man crush on Jake Tapper, and I was heartbroken the time that he yelled at me on Twitter.
So. But I'm sure you've forgiven him.
I've forgiven him. He can do no wrong.
You should have just told him, like, Jake, man crush, violation.
I did.
Throw down the flag.
I did write back, and I said, no, don't misunderstand me. I was yelling at CNN for talking about George Zimmerman, not you. I want
no,
more.
I'm sorry for
I'm really, really sorry, Mr. Tapper. I'm really sorry. I truly am sorry.
Oh, my God.
You're such a good journalist.
All right, so let's listen to the clip. What Jake Tapper, what he's done here, just to set it up. You know, he's for those of you who don't know about Jake Tapper, he's a host of the CNN show. I believe it's The Lead. And he has, go ahead, Chris.
Every day at 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. Got to promote. So he's the host of The Lead. And what he's done here is actually dug into the Benghazi story, which is completely against the grain for CNN. He's brought to light some interesting information, and we want to give the hat tip to him for actually, you know, doing investigative journalism, especially in this very harsh climate. So here's the clip, and we'll comment right after.
In the wake of the attack, sources now tell CNN dozens of CIA agents were on the ground that night, and that the agency is going to great lengths to make sure whatever they were doing and whatever happened that night remains a secret. Here's investigative correspondent Drew Griffin.
CNN has learned the CIA is involved in what one source calls an unprecedented attempt to keep the spy agency's Benghazi secrets from ever leaking out. Since January, some CIA operatives involved in the agency's missions in Libya have been subjected to frequent, even monthly, polygraph examinations, according to a source with deep inside knowledge of the agency's working. The goal of the questioning, according to sources, is to find out if anyone is talking to the media or Congress. It's being described as pure intimidation with the threat that any unauthorized CIA employee who leaks information could face the end of his or her career.
So, guys, this is a pretty significant story. We know that news organizations like Fox News, they've tried to keep the Benghazi story alive. But for someone with actual credibility like Mr. Tapper to come out and basically run a story like this, it is a major news event. Now, Chris, are you worried about your buddy Jake Tapper, that since he's releasing information like this, especially these specific ongoings within the CIA, are you concerned for Jake and perhaps his security?
No. Michael Hastings notwithstanding, I don't think that kind of retribution happens often. And I'm, you know, this program is a firm believer that Michael Hastings was murdered, but we don't know by whom. But if you saw the video that leaked from the local pizza shop of the crash, I mean, it's pretty clear that he was taken out. But, you know, Tapper has too high of a profile to be screwed with, but I'm sure he'll get a nice IRS audit. You know, things will be tough for him. You know, he has a track record going back to his days at ABC and when he was reported there, White House correspondent, I believe, of really they hated him in the press corps in the Bush and Obama administrations because he'd actually ask tough questions and not just shill type questions. Tapper, you know, in the middle of the Zimmerman story, and this is why Tapper yelled at me, he put out a report that said the inspector general was ordered not to fully investigate the FBI prostitution scandal, and nobody else covered it. It was only Tapper, and it got 9 minutes of his show, thank goodness, and that was the only place that it was reported, and then they had to get back to the Zimmerman trial. And it's just like, he's such a bright spot. He actually is doing investigative journalism on cable news, of which I have great disdain. You know, and I tweeted, hey, CNN, do more of this type of stuff and less of the Zimmerman stuff. And he came back and said, we devoted 9 minutes to it. I was like, I know, Jake, don't get mad at me. I was complimenting you. You know, it's nice to see a cable news program doing some investigative journalism. And I feel that Tapper and Aaron Burnett and Anderson Cooper do some good stuff, but they still have to do the bulk of their shows are still, you know, the typical BS news
song
stuff.
And dance.
Yeah, the song and dance. But every once in a while, they'll slip one past the goalie and get a story like this out there.
Speaking of slipping one past the goalie real quick, I mean, if they're doing polygraphs on people to make sure that they're not leaking things to Congress and not leaking things to the media and, you know, making sure things are as untransparent as they could possibly be, who got it to CNN? Who got it to Jake Tapper?
Oh, I'm sure they're checking emails and Facebook chats and all sorts of other sources to get to the bottom of how that information got out. And and that's why I brought up the question about Tapper security. I just wonder, I'm sure there's going to be a full court press on him now for who's your source, you know, and how did you find this out? And of course, the CIA has come out and said, no, we've been fully open and transparent. Anyone who wishes to talk to Congress has been allowed to, and so the exact opposite stories come out of the CIA. It'll be interesting to see how this story unfolds. I know that many within the We Are Libertarians community believes that there's a lot more to this story than just what's been reported, and I'm excited to see that there's actually some meat on this bone, and I would fully expect, especially the GOP wing, to really grab onto this and dig further.
I've not thought that Benghazi, when it first broke, I didn't think that it had like legs that could bring down the president like some were hoping. You know, but it just becomes clearer and clearer that there is something wrong with this story. There's this story, you know, about the CIA agents being pressured. Tapper also that day or the day before reported that there were several dozen CIA agents on the ground in the area in Benghazi when the attack happened, and there is no explanation for why there were so many agents there. I always thought it was curious that one of the three people that were murdered were a CIA agent. Why was there a CIA agent there? Which it was curious. You also have CNN again reporting. They found one of the lead suspects in the Benghazi attack at a cafe in Libya and asked him, hey, have you been contacted by the FBI? Has anyone talked to you about your involvement in the attacks? Nope, I'm not worried about my security. I've not been contacted. I know nothing. You know, have a nice day. CNN found him, but the FBI hasn't taken the time to go and talk to him and investigate the story. We posted that on the We Are Libertarians Facebook page if you want to watch that video. Via the Blaze. So there's just something with Benghazi, and I have long said that there is a conspiracy theory, and this is a wild idea, that maybe Chris Stevens, one of the most trusted ambassadors to the Obama administration, was handling the running of weapons up to Syrian rebels in an Iran-Contra-like scandal, And that's what they're trying to hide and protect, because that's something that, much like it hit Reagan, it could hit the Obama administration and really engulf this administration in, you know, illegality.
So the point of bringing up this story really was, and Chris, that's great background info, was just to give the hat tip to Jake Tapper. He dug in. He found some additional information about this story. I hope that the reporting continues, and we need more people like Jake Tapper. All of our news cannot come from The Guardian, right? We can't have foreign media and people living outside of the United States being the sole source of what our government's up to. We need more people like Jake Tapper. I hope that our listeners will give CNN a shot. I know it's a cable news network that many of the people that would be listening to this podcast would be against, but Tapper is one of the good ones. We feel like he's pulling some good stories out here, and again, we just got to give a hat tip from the Show Report crew, that excellent investigative reporting, and please keep up the good work.
Okay, can I just throw a question, a follow-up based out on that clip real quick?
Sure.
Okay, so I ran in 2012 for U.S. Congress in Indiana's 2nd District, and since I lost, I often give our current representative, Jackie Walorski, quite a bit of grief based on the decision-making practices that she has had since getting into office. We talked about that a little bit last week with Casey Hendrickson, but what this clip says is that they are making moves to ensure that Congress is unaware of the things that have occurred also. And so I guess is it reason to be fearful of the CIA because we are supposed to have representative government? We are supposed to have people who are, you know, they understand our needs. They go in and they defend the Constitution and they defend the people. And we give our representatives so much grief because they don't do it. And yet now you have situations where you feel like they don't even have every piece of the puzzle.
I think it's a fair point, but if you look at, you know, in Jackie Walorski's situation, she has to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars every quarter just to be able to maintain her seat in Congress, and that's really part of the current electorate process that the people have somewhat supported. You know, if there was more time to actually do oversight as opposed to being worried about reelection or as opposed to all these other activities, perhaps oversight would be improved. At the same time, there definitely has been evidence that the CIA and the NSA, I think James Clapper is the best recent example, where misinformation is being given to Congress. And so perhaps some of our commentary towards our representatives, maybe it's a little unfair, but at the same time, if they would stop campaigning, if they would stop worrying about reelection and do their jobs of oversight, you know, get into the issues and really dig in, perhaps some of these things would come to light.
Joe, I think you're 100% right. I mean, the part of the problem that we've had over the last 10 years is that everything now is part of national security, and everything can be redacted. And when our elected officials have trust that everything is just safe and secure, then I likened it to, you know, this is one of the oldest Congresses. And I heard Jackie Walorski's interview with Casey, and I heard an interview with Michelle Bachmann and Glenn Beck where they're talking about how it's just metadata they're collecting. Well, how many of these members, who are mostly on average in their 60s and 70s, do they know what metadata is? Do they have any clue what that means? Do they have any information on what metadata is included in the header of an email and the header of a phone call? I bet they don't. Because most of them, I spend 40% of my day teaching people over the age of 50 how to navigate Facebook and Twitter and their cell phones and their personal technology, and they just take my word for it because I seem to be an authority on technology because I'm young. So I would bet that the majority of Congress members aren't getting the full story, and when they do, they're just buying it because, well, Keith Alexander is the expert. He's the person that we should listen to. You know, he's the authority figure here, so why not trust him? We're just collecting metadata. Well, that metadata is who it's from, where it's sent, what location, what channels it went through, timestamp. I mean, it has a lot of information.
You know, and look at the situation that Ron Wyden, the senator that's on the Senate Intelligence Committee, often finds himself in. He knows what's going on. He has a full picture. and he constantly finds himself handcuffed and unable to release that information. There's been countless times where Senator Wyden has been just almost apologetic in the media, saying, look, there's a lot more here. I legally can't tell you that. So even when the congressman, when the congressmen and women, even when they are fully informed, half the time they can't tell us anyways. So guys, I think we, again, hat tip to Tapper, excellent work. Please check out the show list or the show notes and check out this clip. There's a lot more information here. We only played a minute of it, but great work. And you know, if you've sworn off CNN, give Jake Tapper a try. He does a nice job. Next clip we're going to move to involves Jeremy Scahill. He spoke with Democracy Now! Host Amy Goodman about the guilty verdict in the Bradley Manning trial and the shameful media who have largely ignored this trial. He believes that news corporations are largely sympathetic to the military and avoided covering this case for that reason. Let's listen to this clip. Let's listen to Mr. Scahill's comments on the media and the coverage of the Bradley Manning trial, and then we'll dig into this one a little bit more.
The corporate media coverage of this trial, which is arguably one of the most important cases in modern American history, has been utterly shameful. When you look at how CNN and MSNBC and Fox News covered the Jody Arias trial, where all of cable news was turned into one big Nancy Grace Christmas, and then you look at the utter lack of coverage. Only those independent journalists, Alexa O'Brien, Kevin Gostola, Nathan Fuller, the WikiLeaks truck, those people were in the courtroom every day putting to shame corporate journalists who basically systematically whited out the coverage of the Bradley Manning hearing. And we know how news works in this country. When those in power want to gin up support for a war, they know who to call on the powerful media outlets. When they want to tamp down any public awareness of an issue, they know how to make it a non-story. And their colleagues in the media have been utterly complicit in this. You know, there has been more coverage of the indictment of that Real Housewives lady and her husband than there has of Bradley Manning. And this is the state of media in this country right now. And it is just devastating that we don't have a media culture that says this trial should have been gavel-to-gavel coverage. The reason it couldn't be is because of the secrecy involved with it. And Amy, you and I both were participants in a lawsuit trying to challenge the secrecy there. But the restrictions put on these reporters was a clear attempt by the government to stop any real coverage of Bradley Manning. You don't get to hear his voice. You don't, except for the leaked audio, you don't get to see him. In some cases, you have armed MPs standing over the journalists who dare to cover that trial. And I think that it really is a commentary on how bankrupt our media culture is in this country, but also how far secrecy has gone. It's one of our fundamental rights in our society with a free press to be able to cover proceedings like this. And by limiting the dissemination of information tools of journalists, it really is an attack on democratic values.
Let us say thank you to the good Reverend Scahill, my brothers and sisters. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I actually heard that live, and he's just so right. He really made me think. I've never actually heard Bradley Manning's voice. I don't know what he sounds like. And I think he's a big reason why Edward Snowden fled the United States, not just for his own safety and not only just to stay free, but also because it gave him a platform to continually do interviews and to continually be a thorn in the side of the United States government and the NSA, and to speak out for what he thinks is right and to keep people focused on the message instead of just being thrown in a cell with absolutely no, being tortured. Bradley Manning was tortured. Nobody reported on that in the mainstream media at all. It was reported by, you know, Democracy Now!, which is an independent news source. So I can't give that guy an amen, as Joe says, enough.
The secrecy has gone too far with this media culture. What do you think they're afraid of? Why keep secrets? What do they have to hide? Any thoughts on that?
It's the terrorists, Joe. They got to make sure that the terrorists don't have our secrets. They got to make sure the terrorists can't hurt us. It is
terrorists.
The current narrative in the media and in the government is it is totally security over liberty. And that's what these kind of these actions by the government as far as limiting the scope and availability of coverage on this trial and other things, it's they don't want us to sympathize with Bradley Manning. They right. don't want us to think that here's a young man, this could be anyone's, you know, son, that this young man, you know, did what he thought was in the best interest of the country. He released hundreds of thousands of cables to WikiLeaks, and he did so because he loves the country, not because he's a traitor. And for that narrative to get out, can you imagine what public opinion could have done to this trial?
Well, it's what he did is, we're told, unpatriotic. When most libertarians would have the opposite reaction, what he did was patriotic. He exposed war crimes, the killing of journalists by the United States government, and that's wrong. How is that not wrong? You know, but it undermines the military-industrial complex. We have brought on, especially in the last 10 years, everything that Dwight Eisenhower railed against in his farewell address. Do not create a financial incentive for American companies to profit off of war, because then you will have perpetual war. And when you have perpetual war like we have, then you end up with, you know, war crimes. You end up with a lot of bad stuff. Sorry, there's a dog barking outside. I'm getting off track here. But, you know, there was an admission by Jamie Dupree, who is the Washington correspondent for Cox Media and has a podcast that I listen to every day. And he said, you know, the Obama administration really wants to ratchet up the pressure on Russia for, you know, making sure that he doesn't get asylum in Russia, which he now has. So they send out an email. Jay Carney sends out a personal email to the journalist that he knows and says, hey, make Russia a story. Make relations between America and Russia a story if this happens. And sure enough, the day after he sent that email, all the major news outlets were saying, could this strain relations with Russia, and when we've had such a good relationship after Boston? What Scahill says there is exactly true. I mean, it's we now have two sources saying that's what happens in the state-run media. So it's he becomes a symbol for a martyr, and if he doesn't get the book thrown at him, then more people start declassifying information, and that makes people look bad.
So the lesson here for the listeners is really the media does have influences acting on it, and so it is important to pull back from the story. It is important to go online and even into, you know, other sources like magazines and that, and get multiple angles. And just realize that just because one news outlet is reporting one thing, it doesn't mean that that's the whole story. It's not the whole truth. And in the case of Bradley Manning, it was very difficult to get any information outside of B-roll film of him walking into a courtroom in handcuffs and very few snippets of information otherwise. And so I think it's great that Jeremy Scahill has pointed out this injustice that, you know, we get Jody Arias and we get, you know, George Zimmerman for weeks. But when it comes to Bradley Manning, who really stood up and said, no, the things that our government are doing is wrong, and I'm going to do something about it, we get no coverage, essentially, of this trial, where these cartoonish entertainment trials are getting gavel to gavel. It should make you pause a little bit and just say, you know, why are these stories being fed to me, and who's benefiting from these stories being told?
Let me ask you two a question. It's easy for us to rail against the top-down media, but isn't it really, at the end of the day, what people choose, what people love, and that's what gets ratings, so that's what they give us more of?
Oh, yeah, it makes total sense. I always think back to Ron Paul's Revolution and Manifesto, and he said in there, truth is treason in the empire of lies. People have to ask themselves, is the empire of lies the place that they want to live? Is that the kind of society that they want to have? Is that the kind of society that they want to raise children in and have their children raise children in? And every action that they take and every TV show that they watch and every radio that they give their listenership to, I mean, it all contributes to what kind of society we ultimately want in the end. That's that's just a free market concept.
I think it comes down to people want to make sure that they have their stuff and that their stuff is secure and that they can still take a vacation every year and that they can still drive the cars that they want. And challenging the government in certain ways jeopardizes that ability, right? I mean, as long as things are going all right, why question it? And so that's why I think the stories like that Edward Snowden has helped bring forward, you know, that this X-Keystroke program that basically has all of our online activity getting sucked into a data center in Utah that is searchable, indexable, I think that pulls the curtain back at times, and it makes people say, whoa, wait a minute, maybe this isn't right. Because you can, if the media pushes the story that Bradley Manning is unpatriotic, that he broke the law, that he jeopardized lives, it's a reasonable story to people that really just want to get through their day, feed their kids, pay their mortgage, save up for a vacation, and not have that disrupted. But when you find out that, wow, all of my internet activity is in a data center and that could be used against me someday, that's the pause moment. And I think we need more of those. We need more of those, wow, this flat panel TV could get knocked off my wall and I could lose my fancy car. And when those more of those moments come, and I think, Chris, we've talked about this about Egypt, the Egypt coup or revolution, however you want to label it, that was largely possible because a majority or a large percentage of the population was unemployed.
Yeah.
Right? They don't have much to lose. And as long as Americans have this cushy life, as long as we have, you know, as long as we have these creature comforts that make us resist talking out, I don't know what kind of progress we can make.
And it's hard to explain to people that if you are not engaged, if you are not present and you're not making good decisions, then those creature comforts will go away because they print trillions in debt and put us so far behind that, you know, you eventually, I mean, heck, have you heard a lot of people say that Barack Obama is the leader of the free world? You know, when I was growing up, and I'm only 29, but when I was a kid, when they talked about Clinton, when they talked about, you know, Bush 1, and in the beginning, Bush 2, they always used to say the president was the leader of the free world. I don't hear that about, you know, Bush in the later years or Obama now. I mean, it's just something that is not said. And we're going to lose that place if we don't wake up. And it's full faith and credit in the United States of America is eroding from within and without.
Yeah, we're certainly getting to that point. I know, just even on a personal level, my family can't go to the grocery store without spending at least $100.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about, Ryan?
Hey, I call it the $50 Walmart trap. Once you step through the doors of Walmart, $50 will leave your bank account.
Yes, and it's ridiculous how little you get for the amount of money you spend, and all of that relates back to government practices. And so that creature comfort of our savings account over time, and a lot of people are experiencing this now where they have less in savings because they need that money to pay for other things and make sure that the bills keep paid, that the rent and the mortgage are taken care of, that their car payment's good, and that they've got food in the pantry. And the more and more that these things kind of dwindle down and the less people realize that they're getting, they're gonna start to look for why is this happening? Who is causing this to happen? Where does this come from? Because it's only so much that people can control in terms of the checkbook.
Yeah, it's a slow boil. I mean, people don't realize, you know, gas is like twice as expensive as when Obama took over. I mean, gas is more expensive not just because of outside pressures. Those outside pressures have lasted for about 10 years. It's also the devaluing of our currency, the reason gas is expensive. The reason that your milk is expensive is because of the devaluing of our currency. You know, Glenn Beck uses the example of buying two suits with two silver coins or gold coins. You know, the two pieces of gold, the two gold coins in 100 years ago would have bought you two nice suits. Well, the two gold coins still would buy you two nice suits in this day and age. But back then, you're spending $20 in paper money, and now you're paying $2,000 in paper money. You know, that's an example of the good and the gold are exactly the same in value. It's just the paper money is so much more expensive because it's a fiat currency.
Yeah.
But how do you explain that? Okay, if you're a candidate, and Joe, you've run for office. Ryan, I know you've run for office as well. We just spent 3 to 4 minutes explaining that, and we didn't even scratch the surface.
There's no easy way to get economics across, and that's one of the reasons that Ron Paul failed as a presidential candidate, is he would spend the little time that he was given on the debate stage trying to put across what are sort of complicated ideas that need to be looked further into. And, you know, people were just like, huh?
Well, I think
you love America. All I want to hear you say is that you love us.
Yeah, the simpler, just say you're going to cut taxes, and that's the shortcut to economic prosperity, right? Let's cut taxes, cut regulation, and then get in office and do nothing. But
yeah, if you're watching the newsroom, and I don't know if you guys are caught up on the newsroom, but you know, it's the Jim is on the bus. Okay, so what's in the plan? Well, we've put out the plan. Okay, but it didn't say anything about that. Well, it's in the plan. You know, it's just that's that is absolutely true, and it is a sad reality.
Well, and I think that a lot of these issue guys are the result of the media's moral decline, which is something that Joe Concha of Mediaite really touched on in a recent editorial. I'd like to move on to that. Just from the op-ed, there was a really stunning piece in it that he basically came out and, well, he flat out said, tabloids on steroids is journalism today. Hard news still exists, sure, but only when domestic terrorism, huge natural disasters, and decade-long kidnappings are concerned. But if that's what the public wants, if that's what they're buying, then as a business, news outlets need to heed to the whims of supply and demand. As a wise man, I worked with one who said, talking about basically when talking about generating corporate profits, we're not here for the dental plan, now are we? Thus, is the state of journalism today, so show me the money. It is what it is. That doesn't mean it'll put me in a better mood. So basically, Joe Concha had a Jerry Maguire moment, guys. He looked at his industry, and he said, "This is I can't even handle this anymore. It's it is supply and demand. It's a business, and it's what the people want, and so this is what we get." Part of his piece took a look at the headlines on the front page of the New York Daily News, the online edition, and you know the first headline is about Anthony Weiner's spokeswoman going on an epic rant against an ex-intern. Headline two was Simon Cowell expecting the first child with New York City socialite who is married to his best friend. Headline three was Lindsay Lohan leaves rehab after 3 months stint. There you go, Joe. That one's for you. Headline four, three-way. Married couples escort service also includes husband's sexy ex-girlfriend, according to feds. You know, headline five, I think he's a little too bossy. He's a little too busy blanking something off to do anything for the city. You know, that was the Sydney Leathers ripping into Wiener's X-rated life on Howard Stern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
headline six.
That, by the way, was a great quote. She was like, "How can you run the city if you're blanking off? If you're blanking five times a day?" Like, I was like, "Oh, burn."
She did not say blanking.
No,
but this was really his point. This is what Joe Concha was saying: is that he took a look at the New York Daily News, which it's not a disreputable newspaper, and essentially said, "Look, the first 10 headlines are about." These aren't news stories. I think it was an interesting piece that he put out. I would also kind of to talk about the other side of it. You know, Mediaite relies on the media acting badly or sensational things happening in the media for its website. So I know that I think Joe's heart is in the right place, but he's also working for a news outlet that largely reports on the over-sensationalization of the news. I don't know. What do you think, Chris? Is this Joe having a crisis of conscience, or did he just have a rough Jerry Maguire type day?
No, I will defend Mediaite because they do cover the news business and they do cover that sensational side of it. But they also, you know, if let's say Glenn Beck goes after Diane Sawyer, they report that and they find the video. You know, it's just sort of interesting caveats in the news. I couldn't agree more, but I think it just is. It's the changing nature of news. And so your newspapers that are, you know, were once reporting news and are now essentially just tabloids and People magazine, they're doing that because they're in an old business model that does not work in the digital age. and they are desperately trying to find ways to find any sort of revenue. And so, it's a last gasp by these. And unfortunately, we're in a transitional period where people understand that newspapers are dying and that these major news outlets are no longer going to be as credible. But that's still where they go to get their news. So this is the news that they think is important. They don't go and find The Atlantic. They don't go and find Democracy Now! Or places like that.
So do you guys think that the shrinking of the news cycle to essentially a 24-hour cycle has caused many of these outlets to just become desperate for something, anything, whatever comes up to print?
Yeah, but I think that there's also a point to, you know, people love scandal. I think that's obvious. People love drama. People love to be entertained. And so if they know that about people, they understand what acquires ratings. And I think that when you have the RNC and, you know, talking points given from these various places, you're going to cover up government scandal with, you know, the scandal that you see in Hollywood. And that's why there's no hard news. I mean, prior to that first piece we saw today, when's the last time the media really gave you hard news? Hard news for the media nowadays is like, you know, Bob Dole endorses Viagra. That's hard news.
Boo. You know,
he snuck it in.
Radley, that's what she said. Radley Balco recently had a post where he said, you know, hey, why do people talk about Wiener scandals and all these scandals about cheating and Bob Filner's basically rapist mentality, how that guy is not run out of rail, I don't know, over the scandals of Benghazi, the scandals of the NSA. Why do we talk about that and not the other? Well, people can,
I'll tell you why.
People can relate on a human level to someone being a creepy sexual dirtbag because they know somebody in their life and they understand those impulses and they can relate to it on a human level. They can't relate to the government collecting metadata, which is a word that they don't know or understand. So I think that's why. I think people...
Do you remember that scene from Seinfeld when they were talking about how salsa is the number one condiment in America? And he says, do you know why salsa is the number one condiment? Because people like to say salsa. And then they just spent 3 minutes saying the word salsa back and forth. The reason the Anthony Weiner scandal is such a big story is because people like to say Weiner. Ask Fox News.
Right.
It certainly helps. So, guys, let's jump over to the James O'Keefe-ish story that I pulled out for us to look at. Now, James O'Keefe is a guerrilla journalist. Are you guys familiar with the works of Mr. O'Keefe?
Yep. He and Acorn and Heather Giles acted as a prostitute and a pimp and brought down Acorn, and they had to change their name, and also the Cold Hard Cash down in Louisiana and all that stuff.
So James O'Keefe has run into a lot of criticism as of late. Of course, his Acorn work, as Chris mentioned, and some of the other, I guess I would call them sting operations, but he's a journalist. So again, guerrilla journalism. Some of these operations have caught a lot of attention. In fact, at one point, O'Keefe was, I believe, detained or on house arrest for one of his stunts that I think he went on when he entered a federal building under false pretense and ended up having to serve some time under house arrest and under probation. So he had to do some local work. But in an op-ed in the Washington Times, Christopher Harper has come to his defense, essentially saying that this kind of investigative journalism is valuable and good, and that having people going into places and digging into the truth with firsthand knowledge and essentially with a hidden camera and a hidden mic and going in and getting into the dirt and finding out what's truly going on, that there's value to that. And it caught me as interesting because most mainstream media people have come out against this kind of activity. And I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on this. What do you think about the guerrilla version or tactics of journalism? And do you guys think it has a proper place in journalism, or is it really just more sensationalism and more self-promotion?
I think there's a place for it. I think that there's absolutely a place for it. And I think that if it's going to expose the truth that, you know, we're not receiving otherwise from the media, then it's very welcome to my mind. It's the problem is that you have to go to those links to get facts reported or to know what's really going on nowadays.
I'm all for it. I mean, in the example we used earlier, the metadata, go and get a Michael Moore-style, you know, interview where you go outside of Congress and ask them if they understand what metadata is and get it on film that they have no clue. You know, instead of this phony baloney press relations. I mean, the Sunday shows, that's not journalism. That's public relations. They're opening up the ability for politicians to come on and just give the public spin of what they want. They're not challenging them on anything. You know, it's public relations. It's not journalism. And sometimes you have to catch people off guard. You have to do a little investigative journalism. And the reason that he gets crap for it is because he's a conservative and not a liberal.
That's interesting. Chris, I want to dig into that metadata comment real quick. I've worked in IT for the past 12 years. I'm going to come out and say that what the government is collecting is not metadata. All right, metadata, for the listeners that may be unaware, it's descriptive information about data. And so let's say that we capture an email. Well, the metadata to an email would be, this is an email, right? And then the actual data is the contents of the email. We know, thanks to The Guardian and Glenn Greenwald and Edward Snowden, that the X Keystroke Project is collecting Facebook chats, Facebook posts, emails. Of course, we know that under other programs, phone call content, phone call metadata, which is really just more data about the phone call. This whole metadata versus data, it's a tricky or clever deception to the public. Any data collected that is descriptive about you is actual data, okay? Meta is supposed to be a tag. It's supposed to be a descriptor of that data. They're totally misusing the term. So anything they're collecting, guys, it's pure data, and I wouldn't accept any other, you know, call your congressman out on using that descriptor. They're trying to say that it's less bad to collect the metadata than it is real data, and it's really just spin and trickery.
So do you think the people in the Utah facility right now are streaming the show report on YouTube? Do you think?
I hope so. I'd like to say hello to our friends at the NSA and our friends in Utah who are listening to the show. I hope that they subscribe on iTunes. It's much simpler to get the show on iTunes than it is via their, I'm sure, their devious channels. And, you know, if they'd like to know something, send us a tweet at the We Are Libertarians site and let us know your thoughts on the show, guys. We'd love to hear from Utah.
Yeah, I just, you know, the Project Veritas is that's his James O'Keefe's Project Veritas, where he and Heather Giles, he can't go out and do any of these investigations anymore, so he has other people do it. I'm all for it. I think there should be more people doing it. I think the gun is irrelevant in the 21st century. If you want a revolution, you don't need to fire a weapon. You don't have to be violent. There needs to be no violent overthrow of the federal government at all. But get a video camera. Here in Indiana, in Rush County, our Libertarian Party in Rush County took a video camera and an audio recorder and started recording every county commissioner and county council meeting. You would have thought that there was, you know, that they had brought in like a giant bear costume and were watching, you know, that they had actually brought a real grizzly into the room because it was dangerous that what their words were being recorded for, you know, history and could be referred back to over time. And they get all kinds of questions. What are you doing with the video? What are you doing with that? What are you doing with that? Well, Mr. Commissioner, we realized that when we would show up to the meetings and hear your words and then we'd go back and read the transcripts, they were changed. And so you're giving out property for free to your friends. Well, that's not going to happen anymore now because we have it on tape. And it completely revolutionized county government in Rush County just because of one video camera.
Keeping them honest.
Yep. And it's necessary. Everyone in this day and age is a journalist.
If you own an iPhone or a fancy smartphone, you already got a camera on you. That's all you really need.
Yep.
So, and Chris, I agree with you. When I ran for county office, it was the same deal. There was a definite, I guess, apprehension towards visibility, towards transparency, and when I brought that to bear on within the county that I was running, and the behavior changed, and it actually led me to think that, do you really need to run for office? Can you be more powerful sitting out in the cheap seats, as I called them, with your iPhone and a camera and a voice recorder going on these people. And I, in many cases, I believe you can. And so I would strongly encourage people, if you really want to get to the bottom of what your government's doing, try it out. Of course, stay within the laws, and it is legal to film and to record a public meeting, but stay within the laws, stay respectful, but get your congressman on the record and see what comes to light. It's an excellent exercise in civic duty.
We're to understand at the same time that, I mean, at least initially, there is going to be some pushback. Just know what you're getting yourself into. I mean, O'Keefe, you said that he has teams that go out and practice this guerrilla journalism because he's unable to do it anymore. He was placed on, what, 3 years probation or
right.
something? And, I mean, so
you can't
people
misrepresent.
Need to understand that while it's great, while it would be great to have more people out there doing the same things, there are people who will take those practicing guerrilla journalism and they prefer to keep gorillas in the zoo.
Yeah, go get a book on ethical standards in journalism and be your own journalist. I mean, if you don't
right.
like it, and I said this a million times when I was head of the Libertarian Party of Indiana, if you don't like the media that you're getting or not getting, then create your own media. And that's sort of what we're doing here with the WAL Radio Network. So we're creating our own media because we don't feel that there's enough choices out there for libertarians to get information. Or to explain what libertarianism is and that we're all not nut jobs, you know. So create your own media, especially in your hometown. You know, Indiana Talks, we're heard on Indiana Talks, which is a great, you know, radio station that has a lot of libertarian voices through the week. You know, Gary started out because he was just a blogger writing about his hometown of Huntington, Indiana. There's no paper there. Nobody covers anything in Huntington, Indiana. So he started a blog about Huntington. And, you know, it led to a radio gig and then which led to the creation of the Indiana Talks Network. Nobody's covering your hometown, not even your hometown newspaper. You know, they're just too understaffed and they only write the stories that they're told to write. So, you know, start a blog, install some a journalistic integrity in yourself, you know, set your boundaries and report on your hometown and you'll revolutionize it just because there's a voice for truth in your hometown. Mm-hmm.
And you can have fun with it like we do,
yep.
because we're more informative than Fox News, but we're more entertaining than Casey Anthony.
That's true.
Love it.
And much better looking, guys.
Oh, Ryan is like Ryan is like light years ahead of Casey Anthony.
Ooh.
Meow.
Thanks, guys. So, guys, interesting talk today. I really think that we dug into, and I hope that the listeners would agree, that we've shown some of the angles on the media that should give you a bit of pause. And that's really what we're looking for. We're looking for those aha moments. You know, whether or not it's Jeremy Scahill pointing out the suppression of the Bradley Manning story, whether or not it's the moral decline in the media from a media insider himself, or, you know, whether or not it's a Washington Times op-ed writer going out on a limb and supporting guerrilla journalism. You know, there are some really compelling reasons to question the media, to look for additional information. And as Chris said, become your own media. You know, if you're not getting the stories from the current sources, if the stories aren't being told that you want to hear, go out there and write the story yourself. It's a brilliant way to become engaged and informed and truly a part of the game. But speaking of games, guys, it's time for, I think, your guys' favorite segment of the Shill Report podcast. We don't do this every week, but this week I think we have saved just enough time.
We should.
What's that?
Oh, I said we should play it every week.
Should
Not
we play it every
we play
week?
It every week. We should have Stevie Wonder sing the theme song, and we should have a little. We should have Stevie Wonder like, "We're playing Jay Carney, and Jay said what?" I just think that'd be awesome.
Oh, wow.
That I just, do that stuff.
That just happened.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I hope
Joe,
you didn't hit stop after that.
Yeah.
We are playing.
Your wife is
going to
be...
Joe, that was beautiful. Chris, we ought to isolate that and make that the new drop for the game.
Damn right.
Joe, your wife is going to be so mad at you.
I don't care. I don't care. And I would just like to say in advance, Indiana Talks, you're welcome.
Guys, it is time again, as Joe so beautifully sang, it is time again to play Jay Carney Said What. and for the We Are Libertarians crowd that perhaps is joining us for the first time and hopefully many times thereafter, this is the game where we play a sound clip from Jay Carney's press briefing. We take a look at a question that was posed to Jay. We pause it right before he answers. I pose three possible answers to Chris and Joe. We're going to talk through some of the answers and come down to which one they want to choose. We'll then start the clip again, see who's the winner, see who's the loser, and see how it all comes out. So, guys, here comes the clip from Jay Carney's press conference. Let's see how you do.
All right.
Given that the president, domestically and abroad, so often speaks about respect for women, creating a society where women can function at the highest levels, doesn't the fact that there are high-level controversies involving objectification and in some cases, harassment of women involving the Democratic Party, doesn't the president's silence say something in and of...
What a question. So, guys, here are three possible answers for the question posed to Jay Carney. The first answer, the president is focused on the middle class in this country, and what we can do to make the economy grow through a grand bargain for the middle class. The president understands the allure of such issues in the media, but the president believes it's his job to focus on the economy and to not comment. Number two, women's issues are very important to the president, but at this time it's best to allow these stories to play out without the pressure or interference of the White House. It's most respectful to all involved that we do not comment on these incidents until all facts are known. Or number three, I'd like to refer you to the kitchen for questions like that, and please refrain from any further questions that would involve us exposing the fact that, hey, the women are still underpaid within the Obama administration, and that for a large part, we've not advanced any causes for women in this country.
Well, I know which one it isn't.
Yeah.
What, you don't think he said three?
No, I really... I don't think.
So, guys, let's talk through
these. I don't think you referred questions to the
kitchen. The first one is essentially a pivot to the economy. So instead of actually answering the question, it's a pivot to, no, we're focused on more important things, which is a weird statement to make.
I don't know. Joe, this is a really tough one because they are focused on the economy. So I kind of think that that might be Ryan trying to trap us.
They have been going back to that lately. Whenever they get into between a rock and a hard place, they say, let's think about the economy. Let's talk about the economy, guys.
And the
it's possible. But if you look at number two,
And number two, Ryan, is like a long-winded version of no comment, which Jay Carney's really good at. So that's why it makes that one a strong contender, too. I think I'm going to weigh in for number two because I think Ryan's trying to trick us with number one.
All right. Well, I'm going to... You know, usually we agree. I'm going to go ahead and say number one and hope that they're doing what they have been trending in the last few weeks, which is pivoting to the economy.
And we all know that number three was said by Greg Lenz.
Right. I do want to thank Greg Lenz for sending in the answer for number three. And ladies out there, number three was a joke. We are completely respectful of all races and genders and creeds, and please do not send all letters to Greg Lenz within the We Are Libertarian community.
That would be chauvinist at wearelibertarians.com would be the email.
All right, so Ryan.
I'm going to play the clip. Let's see who got it right.
Ari, no. The president is focused on what we can do for the middle class in this country, what we can do to help the economy grow, what we can do together through a grand bargain for the middle class to reform our business tax code in a way that's beneficial for American businesses and in a way that allows us to invest in the economy so that it helps the middle class grow.
I see a smile on Joe Ruiz's face.
Yeah, because he's 1-2, and I'm 0-3 now.
0-3. We've done pretty well at fooling you guys, but
yeah.
This week, Joe, the split the ticket tactic worked out well for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Ryan, really
think I had some good luck karma on my shoulders after the Stevie Wonder impression.
Ryan, you really should be a communications director because you write these every week and you're really good at saying nothing in a lot of words.
You know what? I've been told that my wife especially agrees that I can talk forever and say nothing. So as she's unfortunately subject to many long-winded babbling rant sessions that just like right now. equate to nothing.
Right. That's generally our wife's views.
Game.
Yeah, that's our wife's views on this whole podcast thing, isn't it?
It is. She wants to know why we spend an hour and what did we actually get done. And you know what we got done, guys? We had a good time.
Right.
We pointed out to our tens and tens of listeners. Actually, we're in the We Are Libertarians feed, our hundreds and hundreds of listeners.
True.
That the news can work against you. And so that's what we're doing, guys. We're showing them that the news isn't always on your side, that it's important to investigate, it's important to question. We're trying to give informed views from media insiders that are basically spreading the same message. And of course, at the end, we're having a little fun at Jake Carney's expense, but you know what? Jay can handle it. So guys, unless you have any closing thoughts, I think that's it for this week.
I have no thoughts.
Noted. Joe, how about you? Are you good for the week?
I think so. Send guest submissions to Ruiz, R-U-I-Z, at wearelibertarians.com. We're always looking for more guest submissions and new pieces to put up on the site.
Yep.
I deem them worthy.
Well, I'd like to thank the We Are Libertarians listeners for listening to this podcast and for sticking with us. And we hope that we've convinced a few of you to check out Episode 7 next week. If you'd like to get involved in the conversation, you can leave a message on Facebook or Twitter. Use the hashtag #TheShillReport so that we're sure to see it. Find out what we left out of this episode on page 2 of The Shill Report, also available at wearelibertarians.com. Listen in on iTunes or wall-radio.com to hear past episodes. And of course, as many of the Indiana Talk listeners are realizing right now, The Shill Report can be heard on Indiana Talks, and it runs Sunday and Monday nights. Please be sure to leave feedback for them as well. It is a great online resource and a great internet radio station. And remember, folks, when the media breaks the news, The Shill Report is here to fix it. Good night, everyone.